This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by Cody Carpentier in his new digs and Trash Man in some Cody, new digs.
Cody looking like Max Headroom over there.
What does that mean?
You don't remember Max Headroom?
I do, but
with the hair slicked and like the floating head, you know?
Yeah, a little bit. I guess so.
Max Everett might be a little bit too antiquated for Cody.
You look like a chimney sweeper, a townie, Trash Man. Coming to us live from London. What is it? Is a townie somebody British?
That's somebody. No, it's somebody from like Boston. It's like,
oh, okay. Yeah, they all kind of moved here from Britain. All right. Well, anyway, have a bunch to get to today. Some updates from NFL mandatory minicamps. We're at the point where most teams have gotten done with their OTAs and starting to get into mandatory minicamps where we're getting to see some of these guys. We're getting more and more player availabilities from some of the stars and coach/coordinator availabilities where we're starting to get some storylines. And so we're going to go over some of those, what they mean for our fantasy football leagues in 2024, of course. You can find all of our content over at rosterwatch.com. Here on the YouTube, if you could please like and subscribe to the channel, that helps us a ton. Comment below. We'll make sure and comment back to you with any questions that you might have. And if you're listening to this on your podcast feed, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever, look, the higher-ups have just told me I have to say it. Please, give us 5 stars. Give us a good rating and a review. With that being said, time to get to the updates, guys. Do you want me to start, or what do you guys want to start?
I'll start off with my boy Adonai Mitchell in Indianapolis catching those threads. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting for Michael Pittman owners this season. Well, and Josh Downs owners. I think we're kind of headed towards what might be a kind of quagmire in that receiving room for Indianapolis, because Adonai Mitchell is doing what both of them can do and maybe better than both of them. We really only saw 1 year of production out of Adonai Mitchell, and I think that's why.
Only one healthy year.
One healthy year, and so I think that's kind of colored the way a lot of people have looked at him. But
What's the update? You're just saying Adonai Mitchell, you're talking about him. What's the update from minicamp?
Oh, that he's just been catching everything. Any and everything that's coming his way. He looks like the best receiver out there on the field. That's the news.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of some hyped up reporting, but they said he did catch 2 touchdowns yesterday from Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson asked about him. Was that on Pat McAfee, Cody? You listened to that show whenever Pat McAfee was like, he's definitely the truth. He talks a lot about him. Like Anthony Richardson's a big fan. If it feels like those two have a connection, my only issue is with this is one, what we're hoping to see out of Anthony Richardson this year, a lot of the production that would have, if he would have had the production that he had last year in 3.5 games, and one of the games he left halfway through and one game he was injured in it where he couldn't come back in. Right. But even with that being so, you extrapolate it out over the course of the season, he would have been QB1. We've talked about that. So much that had to do with the fact that, had over 50 yards rushing and I believe at least a touchdown in every game that he finished fully healthy. He's going to be a big part of that offense like that. And you just wonder, is it too early for him to be taking that sort of Jalen Hurts step in his career that everybody's hoping that he's going to be taking to where he can develop into more of a passer that can support multiple wide receivers like this, because we know that Pittman was a target hog last year. Josh Downs is Reggie Wayne's favorite receiver in the draft. In this past draft, right? He's a guy that they have high hopes for. We know that Anthony Richardson is going to account for some of the scoring. We know that JT is going to account for a lot of the scoring. My one thing about AD Mitchell is that one thing about Adonai is he's a touchdown catcher. I mean, he catches touchdowns. It was like every game of the season at Texas this year up till like week six, where it was like if you went back to his healthy games at Georgia and you watched those games, he's no matter if he was getting, you know, peppered with targets or whatever, he would always score a touchdown. And then for his first six games, you know, he was on a streak when he got to Texas, and he kept that streak going for like the first 6 weeks of the season. So, you know, he's a guy that teams have looked to in the red zone for a long time. I think if Adonai does bring, you know, fantasy relevance this year, I think he's going to –
You think it's an if?
Well, what?
You think it's an if?
Well, right now they're talking – like right now the Indies – I was reading an article on him the other – or maybe I forgot when it was, maybe yesterday, whatever. But they were saying that he's vying, and these guys don't know, but they're saying he's vying for the number three wide receiver role. And what does that really mean? Right. But that's sort of what the insiders around the team are saying right now. I think Adonai Mitchell, at the very worst, should probably be the number two wide receiver for the Colts by the time that the season's over. I don't think that that's a crazy thing to say at all. He played at the X at Texas. He played at the Z at Texas. He's probably going to be playing a little bit more Z this year. But. Yeah. I do think in fantasy, and this has been Cody's criticism, is just what about the volume? What about the pure volume of targets? We'll see, but it is encouraging for Adonai Mitchell there. And I'd say it's encouraging for the Colts passing game that it feels like that there's at least some connection there with a new wide receiver that they spent second round draft capital on. Cody, you have thoughts on this?
No, I'm good on the Indianapolis situation. We've talked about Adonai for as long as we have, and I think the problem is we hear thoughts on Jelani Woods as a tight end in that room or in that building, as well as Josh Downs, who they just brought in last year, and it's just like an annoyance. And you know exactly what Josh Downs can do. He can become a PPR monster. He can just become a guy that takes targets away in an offense that might not have an abundance of targets. With the rushing of Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor. So I'm nervous to see what even like that number two, number three type of a role looks like for Adonai Mitchell as a rookie. And that has nothing to do with his talent or anything. It has more to do with just the offense that we're looking at.
As a wide receiver four, or wide receiver five, an underdog, it's like, I mean, I'd love having
with with the upside, it's a no brainer.
All right, I'll go to my first one here. We got the Todd Bowles had the press conference yesterday, and also Chris Godwin having availabilities there with the Bucs. They're like the big narrative right now with Chris Godwin is he's moving back into the slot. So what does that mean exactly? And do we believe it, Cody? Because if you look back, so Chris Godwin, it was a sea change, right? In 2023 from 2022, the numbers flipped. He went from 73% in the slot in 2022 to 37% in the slot only in 2023. That is a difference. So in 2023, he was wide receiver 29 in PPR. So he was at 12.2 fantasy points per game in PPR. Whenever he was operating 73% of the time in 2022, he was wide receiver 18. So we're talking about basically, and I know people hate it to frame it like this, but we're talking about a back-endish, mid to back-endish wide receiver three when he was 37% in the slot versus a pretty good wide receiver two, or at least a middling wide receiver two when he's at a 73% slot rate, 15 fantasy points per game in PPR in 2022 when he was heavily used in the slot. They're talking about that's where he's best, that's where we want him operating, all this stuff. We're getting him back there. My question is this. They drafted Jalen McMillan, right?
Mm-hmm. They have Trey Palmer, the burner.
Am I misremembering that?
No, McMillan is there. McMillan's all right, there and Palmer.
I mean, McMillan is a slot wide receiver. I don't understand these people on X who were saying this makes perfect sense because you get McMillan, the new burner on the outside stuff. I'm like, did you guys watch Washington? McMillan's not an
outside
burner.
Wouldn't quite classify him as a burner.
He's a pure slot receiver. He looks like Keenan Allen. He played 90% of his snaps in the slot last season. Yeah. Look, if the team's telling us that they're moving Godwin to the slot, we know he's operated better in the slot. He says he's operated better in the slot. I get it. I like it better. I like it better for Godwin. I think Godwin and Mike, where are these guys ranked, you know, just versus one another? Godwin versus Mike Evans. Because, Cody, I'm old enough to remember a time whenever people were dude, even starting last year.
You're old enough to remember a lot of times.
Yeah. In week one of last year, Godwin, I think, was more expensive on DraftKings than Mike Evans. Like, that was a sentiment. People were saying Godwin over Evans, stuff like this. Now you have Evans going as what? His ADP is 22.8, wide receiver 16. And then, and this is on Underdog. I'm scrolling. Where's Godwin?
38, wide receiver 38, 22 spots lower.
So, dude, he's going behind, like, oh, man. He's going around the same time as Ladd McConkey and stuff. And Rome, you know, Roma Dunze, who already has a hamstring. Dude, Dunze with a hamstring, Xavier Leggett missing practice, all this stuff, man. It's just
this Godwin thing to me is when you look at the air yards, changed. He had 380 more air yards last year, and it translated to nothing. Fewer fantasy points, one less touchdown. The touchdowns have dipped the last 3 years from, you know, where he was going 7.97 down to like the 2.3 area. And I know that has more to do with the offense and they lost Tom Brady and stuff. But like going to the outside didn't even really enhance him at all. And Mike Evans continues to get 1,000 yards. I think it's going to be more of a 50-50 split of him playing inside, outside. And you look at McMillan, who the last 2 years has played predominantly in the slot, but his 3 years ago at Washington, he was completely on the outside. So I could see them utilizing both of these guys in kind of the same role. Obviously, they're not going to give McMillan near the same snaps they will for Chris Godwin. And Godwin just signed an extension, last year? So he's got 3 years, $60 million was his – signed through 2027, or am I wrong there? What am I looking at?
I don't know his contract. No, it would be 2026. If it was 3 years last year, it'd be through 2026.
Oh, they have two void years in here, so I was reading that wrong.
What is the contract?
It's a mess. That's what it is. 3 years, $60 million, signed in 2022 as an extension. So it ends this year. It says he's a UFA/void. So he's a UFA next spring. So, makes sense.
The last year. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a messy contract. It's super messy with all the voids and stuff. But so technically, you know, if you're looking down the line, it would tell you that they aren't going to re-sign Godwin if they're going to utilize McMillan and Godwin in the same kind of the same role. I think that would be the thing I would take away from this. I thought he had one more year in Tampa, but I guess it's just this year.
I think that depends too how McMillan does in there.
Of course, if he plays.
I mean, I'll be interested. I mean, this to me just comes back to be interesting about Jalen McMillan, you know. But also Godwin, it feels like Godwin's a value right now. You know, whenever I run this next update I think I'll just make it version 3.0 instead of going to like 2.7 or whatever on the best ball cheat sheet. We're going to make a little bit of a move for Godwin here in that one. Let's hear from Cody.
A lot of smart people don't feel so smart when it comes to their money. So Morgan Stanley made a podcast to help. Listen to What Should I Do With My Money? To hear real people ask real questions about money and get helpful answers from experienced financial advisors.
I'm gonna go to the Carolina Panthers, who you kind of tickled it a minute ago on this, but more so injuries in Carolina. Xavier Leggett, who's dealt with injuries his entire career at South Carolina, he missed two games last year. He missed a bevy of games his junior season. He missed a bevy of games his sophomore season. That's kind of what made his career start slow at South Carolina. Now he's on the sideline, still working through hamstring issues. They said they liked him. We saw some clips last week during camp. But now we're like this is his third phase, right? He went through rookie camp, and he went through OTAs, and now he's getting into mini camp, and he's hurt, and he's banged up. And now we're seeing this can kind of continue to hinder him, as well as Miles Sanders, who, you know, we didn't really have any expectations for Miles Sanders, but he's been dealing with an issue the last couple of weeks.
Heel again, on the right? Side. Heel?
Yeah, and I just saw this tweet from Joe Person, who was there, and he's getting the quote from Dave Canales saying that Miles Sanders has been dealing with an issue for the past couple of weeks. He's been running on the side, no practice. And the first comment says he's been dealing with an issue for a little bit longer than that.
Yeah,
I just think that kind of perfectly portrays it. And then coupled with that is the running back coach, Bernie Parmalee, says that Jonathan Brooks is good size.
Did you get Bernie Parmalee's? Oh, wow. Yeah. Dude. Bernie Parmalee. That's it. I loved some Bernie Parmalee, man. That's some stuff from when I was a little kid.
And he mentioned he mentioned his position flexibility for Brooks, and just kind of it's the writing on the wall more so in Carolina. What I'm saying is like the rookie thing with Xavier Leggett. Everybody loves the new juicy new toy, but Deontay Johnson's still there.
And then they still got Jonathan field. Mingo.
Jonathan who? What?
Yeah.
I just think that the running back room was the one I was a little bit worried about. I was like, what's going to happen here? Because, you know, Miles Sanders still has that talent, still has those abilities. But this entire, you know, front office didn't bring him in. So you could easily see him be a cut candidate over the course of the next couple of months.
He couldn't beat out Chuba Hubbard. I mean.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders stinks now, man.
Brooks is going running back 24 right now.
Here's my issue with that. This is one of my narratives. And the narrative is we're getting to hear all the talk again, Cody, and this is bubbling back up because we heard it from Dan Morgan. We heard it from Dave Canales at the combine, this unsolicited stuff, all this stuff about how we're going to be a running football team. We're going to pound the run. We're going to do this. We're going to run. You can go to Roster Watch right now and go look. I don't have the strength of schedule tool up yet because we don't have, we won't have a good idea until after mandatory mini camps, and we get the fall depth chart projections from the various beat writers and stuff like that for us to know exactly how these teams are going to be with their projected starting lineups and their projected starting sub packages. Right. And so we need to analyze who the personnel is, and that'll be coming, you know, midway through June, through the end of July. We'll be working on that, but I have been putting together some of the inputs that go into it, like the game environment grid, where it takes into account the number of dome games, the number of outdoor games, the number of late season outdoor games, the number of international games, stuff like that. We talked about how Detroit looks so golden on that thing. Just another thing, this isn't the main point, but if you look at that thing, Carolina has terrible environments this year. They play one international game and they only get two dome games all season long. As far as game environments, the fifth worst of any other projection. But then when I look at the game total spreads and implied team totals, you can go through on Circa Sportsbook or on DraftKings, and you can get totals and lines that people are betting on right now for every single game of the season. So you take 256 games of the 17-week fantasy football season, and you look at Carolina. People understand what an implied team total is, right? That just means whenever you have a total of a game, you can take that total, and when you look at the spread, you can take the difference between where the two numbers would be, and you can get an implied total from the sports books about how many points that team is going to score that week, right? And so if you look at the implied team totals, the team with the highest average implied team total across the 17-week 16-game fantasy football season is San Francisco at 26.14 as far as an average implied team total, which is just insane. Detroit is just behind them, by the way, which we're going to be in on a lot of the Detroit guys. It's just
Gibbs.
Well, we'll be in on Gibbs. It's fine. It doesn't mean he's going to outscore Bijan, trash man.
Yeah, it does.
Dude, Carolina is one of only three teams in the whole NFL with a season-long average of their implied team totals below 20 points.
Oof.
19.67. It's like – and so it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder. They're down here in the absolute doldrums with Denver and New England, and it makes me wonder how often game scripts are going to be good enough to where these guys are going to get to pound the football with any kind of extra volume.
Or they'll be in scoring position.
It's just like, I love Brooks. I think things are lined up for him. We can go with the narratives, but we're going to need to take this into consideration. It's like, and the sports books aren't everything. And once we get to look at the personnel that they'll be facing week in, week out, we'll be able to get you with the fast start stuff, the playoff stuff. It's all going to be in the strength of schedule tool, but those aren't promising to me. So we'll see what happens. It's like, but here's the thing. It's like last year we had all the stuff, we had all this stuff about Sam Laporta having a tough, you know, we wanted Laporta. We're like, well, he's got a tough tight end schedule. Our tools tell us that, you know, but we're like, well, we're not gonna get too far down on Laporta because we love him and we still want to get him. It could be like that with Brooks, right? But it's just something to keep in mind. Trash man, that's actually one of my narratives, is the running game and me being a little bit worried about it. So can we go to you for your second storyline?
Yeah, this one was interesting to me. Kind of a trash man storyline. And that's N'Keal Harry working with the tight end.
Do people want the real information?
No, this is interesting because if TJ Hockenson isn't available to start the season,
the news is that N'Keal Harry is getting moved to tight end before he gets cut. It's like all these other Kelvin Benjamin types. But go ahead, Hakeem Butler. Go ahead and go on.
I mean, maybe in best ball formats, this could be interesting. You know, especially since TJ Hockenson isn't necessarily expected to start the season, and N'Keal Harry is better than. And he's a better athlete.
We're talking about N'Keal Harry. Look at Cody. He's embarrassed.
You loved N'Keal Harry coming in.
I didn't love N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. He's in the same class as AJ Brown and these guys, right?
Maybe it was you or Byron. Maybe both of y'all loved him.
N'Keal Harry evil on me, man. I mean, everybody had him as a top three or four guy, but I didn't have him over anybody. Super good.
But, you know, he's better than Robert Tonyan. Who's the other?
They still have Johnny.
Josh Oliver. Robert Tonyan. I mean, come on. I think it's a very real possibility. N'Keal Harry's playing over both those guys coming to start the season.
Balls from who? It's like, come on, trash.
Sam Darnold, the guy who's going to like to dump the ball off.
Yeah, he's going to like to see a bunch of ghosts. Let's move on to N'Keal Harry, tight end for the Vikings. Okay, Cody, what do you got?
We know he will be in week zero garbage grab. Will be N'Keal Harry. You can see that coming down the line. I'm going to go running back here with my second one, and it's going to be a couple of guys. Just baseline like thoughts on these guys getting. I hate this time of year, but I also love it because we see opportunity for guys, but we also see sometimes fake thought. And I think like the Juwan Jordan thing in Houston is like Joe Mixon's like Juwan Jordan, who's the rookie running back from Louisville, played with Isaac Garendo. He's 24 years old. He had a 1,000-yard season this last year.
190 pounds.
Very light. He's actually 5'11", 190 pounds, so he's like a weirder body type. And Joe Mixon goes, this guy's picking up the playbook faster than I am. And that makes a headline. And I don't think that is a headline. I think that's just a cool. Like Joe Mixon might not be picking up the playbook as fast as this rookie kid. But I don't think that says much about the backfield in Houston, about the opportunity. What I do believe says much more about a backfield is like with the Jets, with Braylon Allen getting opportunities with Breece Hall dealing with a lower leg issue and Braylon Allen catching the football downfield.
I'd like a deep to see ball. This. Have you seen a video of it?
Oh my, see, he's sick, dude. And like, he's the youngest player in the NFL right now. Braylon Allen is.
Don't tell me that Braylon Allen's a sick wide receiver, a sick receiver.
He's a sick back. I told you this. Listen, dude, 4 months ago I said this, and then like we didn't get any testing, so I had to move him down because it's like, all right, well, he's scared. He's going to run a 4.6.
We moved him down because you see, like when he tries to catch passes at the combine, they hit him in the face.
But I don't know what happened, if they maybe gave him some sticky or what, but he caught a deep pass down the sideline.
I'll believe it when I see it. This is trash.
So I'm just gonna say like backfield, like running backs in general. So the Juwan Jordan thing, like I just think this time of year is one where you're gonna get a lot of stuff that comes out about backfields because some guys aren't practicing, some guys are banged up. The Juwan Jordan thing in Houston, Braylon Allen with the Jets, Kendre Miller. We've heard this drumbeat from Nick Underhill for the last 3 months, and it's continuing now. Once they start talking to Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator, he says he's gonna have a bigger role. Kendre Miller is in the New Orleans Saints offense. So I hope I'm not taking your guys' stuff, but there's just a multitude of running backs that have gotten opportunities. And then the last one is the Indianapolis backfield. They said Trey Sermon right now is the next man up behind Jonathan Taylor, which I kind of expected Evan Hold to kind of jump back into that rotation and potentially be number two as he was earlier during the 2023 season.
We're just being provocative, Alex.
No, I was just let's instead of something that's provocative, let's talk about something that's actually actionable, man. And that as far as running backs, and that's the Bijan stuff.
Rigo Dowdle.
The Bijan.
How about Deuce Vaughn? Deuce Vaughn in the slot? Yeah, is that
the Bijan stuff? The okay. Bijan stuff. Bijan says he's going to get treated more like CMC next year. He said that. Look, I'm going to be running more between the tackles. You know, this is paraphrasing, right? But he's like, I'm going to be running more on the early downs and stuff, but then I can also be used on some of the other downs in the same way that I was as a wide receiver last year. And look, I mean, Bijan was fine last year. He was good. I don't know. I don't have it on me exactly where he finished, but you know, he probably finished a little bit short of expectation, but he didn't kill you. Right. Bijan Robinson last season, as far as NFL running backs, he finished 21st in rush attempts, which to me is just absurd. It's like my buddy Anwar Richardson says at Orange Bloods. It's like, man, Arthur Smith, he's already shown us that, you know, if he's got an awesome Cadillac, he's just not going to drive it. Like it was very, very, very frustrating last year to see the way that the usage was divvied up between Bijan and Tyler Allgeier. Tyler Allgeier got like 185 carries to Bijan's
why drive the Ferrari if you're going to be driving through the mud? That team sucked.
Well, but look, man, but Bijan was good. Like I said, 21st in rush attempts, but if you look at cockamamie PFF, 10th overall grade, or 10th overall in rushing forced missed tackles, and fifth overall in runs of 10-plus yards. So basically, he was a dude who was not getting the volume in the running game, but every time he was super-duper efficient because he's Bijan and he's too sick. And now you're telling me that he's actually going to get the early down volume plus the ancillary volume that we're so used to out of him? Like, Bijan's about to explode. Trash me. Would it be that, like, would you fall over and would your eyes bug out of your head if we flip the cards over and 2024 runs out and Bijan Robinson outscores Christian McCaffrey?
Ah.
Cody?
The percentile chance that happens, I would say more than 50%. I feel like it's a possibility, 100%.
I'd say it's a 30%.
You scoundrels, haters.
I mean,
I'd say 55%.
Falcons aren't going to be in scoring position as much.
Who knows? Who knows? But when we did talk about the implied team totals for the 49ers, they do look very, very good. And we know the Christian McCaffrey, certainly a big part of that. They've extended him now, and they're going to want to make sure to keep him fresh for the stretch run and for the, you know, for his time on contract there in San Francisco. Trash man.
I like it.
Do you have a final one?
Well, I was just going to touch on the Dallas running backs.
Oh, so the Rico Dowdle thing was true.
Yes.
Dude.
Well, they're talking about using two or three running backs, whatever they have to do. And it just seems like Dowdle's going to get some opportunities, particularly in the passing game. So I think it's the kind of situation where Dowdle is somebody that you're going to want to have at the end of your benches.
Dowdle going right now, the 141.2 on Underdog. So he's going around the same time as these running backs. Tell me which one you like best: Zach Charbonnet, Rico Dowdle, Kendre Miller, or Marshawn Lloyd, all in that exact same pocket.
I'll say Miller.
Yeah.
Miller over Dowdle for sure.
I mean, just.
So another lukewarm take for Trash Man. Give us what you're sure about. Who are you? Who's the sure thing?
See, but no, this is what you do. You get off these, I guess, situations that I haven't thought about, and then if I don't what do you think, Alex? I said Kendre Miller.
The answer is 100% Kendre Miller.
Then why are you asking?